Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Back, guys. We got more updates. We got more clips that we need to see. We're getting some headlines here. We got Fishback joining us in the third hour, but you're going to want to stay here for the whole show because just in 30 minutes, we got the deep dive coming up. What's the deep dive on?
Deep dive today. What are we talking about?
Ukraine.
Yes, we're talking about the Ukraine conflict because that's the one that doesn't get as much attention anymore because Iran has taken all the headlines.
Right.
But when I look at the Ukraine war, we always talk about current events, but I wanted to understand the context and the history because this isn't the first time. And sure. I want to understand why does Russia have so much beef with America and vice versa
sure.
and beyond the Cold War. And I'm just going to give context to all of that in the deep dive. And you're going to be shocked at some of the things that you're going to see. And it's going to make perfect sense why 2014 happened and 2022 happened. That's pretty much what the deep dive is.
Me and you have actually had a lot of discussions on Ukraine. And I convinced you, I think, in a little respect to look into it a little bit more and to just make the calculation of like what's going on here with NATO. And that's going to be the real discussion that we're going to have.
Yeah. And let me just highlight.
Yeah, sure.
Before I really dove into it, I kind of had almost like this Cold War mentality where I was like, well, Russia clearly is the enemy.
Right.
You know, like I was propagandized, and this isn't for me to say like, oh, well, Russia doesn't have its own issues. It does. I mean, they're not perfect.
But we look at everything.
But like I do now see the bigger picture of why they were pushed to do the things that they ended up
sure.
doing. So, yeah, that's what the deep dive. And we'll do that at the second hour. You sure. guys don't want to miss that.
I want to go ahead and go to this beauty of a clip that we have of Trump talking about, you know, we've heard we were going to get all sorts of economic stimulus. They're rolling out an offer of another $2,000 that we're never going to see again. Let's go ahead and play the clip.
With Kevin Hassett on that, or do you think you can do that unilaterally?
No, I don't think we would have to go the Congress route, but, you know, we'll find out. The reason we're even talking about it is that we have so much money coming in from tariffs that we'll be able to issue at least a $2,000 dividend and also pay down debt for the country. But we'd do a $2,000 dividend to the people of our country. We'd probably set a limit of, you know, income limit where it made sense. But we will be able to make a very substantial dividend to the people of our country. I believe we can do that without Congress.
This is another nothing burger, man.
That's what I was saying. Are we
still serving nothing burgers or are we out?
I was feeling hungry for one this morning. It looks like we just got one in here. Here's the thing. How many times you get a promise to help the American citizen out? How many times are you going to say you're going to make things more affordable? You're going to make the price of goods go down. The price goes up and then you promise us more imaginary money. We're not going to have you don't have to do this.
Well, I mean, we were promised. Remember that Doge dividend?
Right.
Doge doesn't even exist anymore.
What's that? Never heard of it.
Doge dividend?
No, well, just Doge. I never heard of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, they said after all the savings we're going to have for you guys,
right.
after we get all the corruption and drain the swamp, we're going to give you guys some money.
Right.
And not a single dollar has hit my bank account. Has it hit your bank account?
Absolutely not. But this is another victory. This is another win. I was told by Cat Turd, who I follow and subscribe to all the opinions of, I was told by Cat Turd that we're panickins if we talk about Doge.
Mm. Well, let me jog your memory back to something, okay? Because Biden did the exact same thing. We go back to 2022, 2023. Do you remember right before the midterms? It was 2022. Right before the midterms, they were promising to absolve the student loan debt.
Mm.
That was a nothing burger. I believed, like I had student loan debt. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get all my debt forgiven. This is amazing.
This is amazing.
And then they burn you so bad. And like people were planning on that. They actually were like not paying their loans back because they thought they were going to get repaid. Right. And they end up getting screwed. And so my whole point with that is you're just getting railed on both sides. Just people trying to position themselves to make you feel good before the midterms. This is a midterm
this
play,
this is
man.
Interesting. And I'm sure some economists, or maybe even you, Tim, maybe we can go back and forth and argue on this. I always thought the easiest way to deal with the student loan problem is to just remove the protection the loans have to where you can just charge them on bankruptcy. Because right now you can't discharge a student loan on bankruptcy. Any other kind of debt – you can, but you're just right. For those, you're locked in forever. Screw those companies.
I have no idea. I have no idea how the university lobbies were able to pull that one off.
It's crazy.
And then you just think about the predatory lending that comes behind that, right? You're letting – you can't as a kid at 18 go and take out a loan for $300,000 on a house. But you can do that on an art history degree at Harvard?
Sure.
Make it make sense. So we have all these systems in place – in which they give you promises, they say we're going to do this for you, and then we also have on the other side a lot of these programs that are actually just making it worse for the American people. So I'm just trying to understand, when are we going to stop getting these nothing burgers?
Sure, and we think about it, you're an engineer, you made the calculation, Tim, and you're like, I need to go to school, I'm going to have to pay for it, and I might have some debt from it later, but I'm going to be able to pay this off because of my career. It gives me upward mobility, stuff I don't have before not being a professional, now that you're a professional. And you look at the vast majority of people that go to college, that's just not true. You go to, you get drunk, get the literature or communications degree or whatever, and then 4 years after the fact, maybe they're in marginally less debt than you, maybe like 10, 20 grand less debt, and they're never going to pay it back.
Never going to pay it back. But that's something you die with.
I was told a lot growing up that you have to go to college for the experiences. It's all about the experiences. I've been to plenty of college parties. The only experience is just people puking on each other and breaking glass bottles.
So let me give you some context here. The experience.
The networking.
Yeah, the networking, those types of things. Freshman year, you have fun. It's a blast. Okay, sure. But you're taking the mindset of like an 18-year-old and not thinking about what he's going to feel like by the time he's 21, 22.
You're going to feel different. I'll let you know.
You're going to feel different after you graduate when life really hits you.
Right.
And so, again, this comes down to us having these broken systems in place to where we're not actually teaching people, okay, not all degrees are created equal, Rex.
Right, right, right.
You go in. I graduated with a bunch of people outside of my engineering degree. Most of those people, some people are librarians. I'm like, you went to school to become a librarian?
Yeah.
Is that really what you did?
And there are things that if you put the same time into, even if it's a trade or even if it's not that, even if you're just like working at Walmart or whatever, you work at Walmart for 4 years, you do a perfect job, bam, you're middle management. You know, and you're making good money. You're making 60, 70, 80 grand a year, the same as somebody in that librarian position.
Yeah, and they're I was about to say, like, some people coming out of college are making the same as if you didn't have a degree. But college isn't all bad. It just depends on what degree you go for and where there's a good ROI on that investment. But now the ROI is not balancing out because the debt just keeps going higher, and they're building new cool buildings. We've got the new student art center.
Yeah.
And it's like, this building's going to cost us $1 billion, and we're going to raise your tuition up another 10% this year.
It really is. We see this pricing out of just the American from American society. We see this around colleges, or around education in general, around healthcare, around how we live in general. You see people in Austin will be jogging down the street and they'll be wearing like $5,000 of wearable electronics and have a Rolex on their wrist, and they'll run right by a homeless person that's bleeding out in the street. Now you can look at that as a microcosm and say, well, you know, one person's really down on their luck, one person worked really hard their whole life, has all the technology, whatever. The wealth gap and the wealth disparity in this country just continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And Trump comes out and he says, oh, we're going to give you $2,000. What is $2,000? A rent for a month and a half? And you say, that helps a lot of people. That's true. Yeah. And we want that to happen. I want the check.
Well, here's the thing. The alternative was, you know, you give people the stimulus paychecks, and then that also made it worse, too. So it's like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. But you got to teach a man to fish. Don't give him the fish.
And by giving them the money, you inflate the economy. And it's just – there's no free lunch. You can't have your cake and eat it, too, is the old saying.
And we're not making as much off of these tariffs as you think. And also, didn't the Supreme Court come out with a – case that said you're not allowed to do this anymore?
I don't like it when Tim's racist. I don't like it when Tim's racist like that. Infinite money. It's made 90 trillion.
You have Trump's rage impeachment
the
syndrome.
The Dow is 50,000, like you always say. Yeah. Let's go to this. Let's go to we want to talk about this hypocrisy, this double standard of the government always having money for war and all these things, but never having money for you. Let's roll the Rubio Trump clip. I believe that's clip number three.
Imagine an Iran that instead of spending their wealth, billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, had spent that money helping the people of Iran, you'd have a much different country.
We have to take care of one thing, military protection. The United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things.
He said he wouldn't cut them. He said he wouldn't cut Medicare, Medicaid.
Okay, so that speech that I'm seeing there, that was him supporting daycare? Or
no,
or?
That's him saying we don't have the money for daycare. We have to fight all these wars.
Oh.
Let's go back and let's play the Trump thing again. Tim, I want you to take this in. I want to get your take.
Let me take this in because I got confused there for a second.
I think you got something to say on this.
That instead of spending their wealth, billions of dollars supporting terrorists or weapons, had spent that money helping the people of Iran, you'd have a much different country.
We have to take care of one thing, military protection. The United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. It's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things.
Your thoughts?
Okay. I didn't catch the military protection thing. Yeah, I mean, just look at the discretionary spending budget.
Right, 49%.
It was 47% is going towards the defense spending. And then you've got like this little like 3% here for like maybe education, another 3% here for like housing and urban development to where you don't have to like drive over a pothole. We surely do have enough money. This is gaslighting.
Well, he says it's not possible to pay for the daycare. The U.S. couldn't do that. The states have to do that because we're fighting these wars. I mean, it's not possible for us to pay for daycare, but it is possible for us to spend $500 billion in Ukraine and Iraq.
Rex, 40 Tomahawk missiles would probably be more than enough to cover the daycare or the cost on a weekly basis for an entire year for a family.
maybe let's take the radars as an example, because with the radars you have $20 plus billion of inventory that's been destroyed if you combine that with the planes and everything else that's been wrecked.
Let's read that. Let's read that. So he's saying providing daycare for every child is roughly cost $140 billion annually. Okay, and then the national cost reaching over $3,100 annually. Yeah, so $140 billion.
Well, they could pass 200
every
billion.
Single kid.
Yeah.
Okay, but we can ask. Yeah, you're right. We guys, we need 200 billion right now.
And here's the thing. That's just paying for it all outright. If you subsidize it and make it affordable for people, it's not nearly as much money.
No. But like, even if you were to take the whole thing, the 140 billion, you were to prioritize and just say free child care for everybody.
Sure.
You wouldn't even touch the spending we just asked for.
Can you imagine, Tim, how outrageously popular that would make anybody who implemented that program?
No, but you know what would happen? Some lobby, Lockheed Martin, is like, that's ours.
That's our money. Yes,
that's our money.
Yes.
How dare you try to help out that single mom of four who needs to still go to work and find somebody to watch her kid?
That's right.
My Tomahawks need some commission.
We got to refill the missile order. We got to get that done. That takes priority. This is everything we're talking about and more. I want to go to the Theo Von Joe Rogan clip because Theo Von is voicing everything you're voicing, everything I'm voicing, just the pain of the Americans having to deal with this. And Rogan's just like, just come hang out with me and my billionaire friends. So we'll just go ahead and watch that clip now.
It's all just a cat and mouse game. People are like, we'll elect the Democrats next time. It's like, but it's all the same. Everybody is scared out of their wits right now. It's like our religious leaders are afraid to speak out. And it's like it's a time where it's like Satan is amongst us and our religious leaders are fucking talking about bullshit at the poll. It's just like, what is going – I don't – you think I am?
Come hang out with us. Just chill
out. I'm here.
So sorry for all the swearing. I apologize to the crew. Bye-bye radio license. But here – It's Good Friday as well. So Theo Vaughn voices his concerns. Rogan's like, you should come hang out with us. Rogan, you're worth a billion.
Well, I mean, like, I think Rogan understands in the back of his mind. He's like, I don't think he knows what to do. He's like, you might as well just come hang out with us because we don't really have a solution. Now, I look at that and, you know, Theo Vaughn is a comedian, but like for him to get serious about this says a lot about the state of where we're at in
sure.
the country.
Sure, absolutely. You know? Well, I mean, he's just voicing the everyman perspective. That's what being a man of the people is all about. Now, I think the reason why Rogan is so popular and all those people that came up really in that 2000s, 20 teens era of like original podcasting is because it felt like you were talking to somebody real, someone that was connected to society, someone that was going through the same things as you, fans of the same sports and stuff as you, just kind of like a common man's perspective. But yep. Now we get into it and it just seems like those people are completely divorced. And you got Theo Vaughn, who's really that old guy, that old spirit of podcasting, who's talking about the will of the people. And oh, like, let's just talk about sports, man. Let's just, ooh, isn't that crazy that wildlife video. No. And this is why I got so mad yesterday. Like, if you're going to talk about serious topics, then let's be real about the stuff going on in the world.
Well, also the thing that I was making, and we're referring to kind of this debate that we had with somebody on our show last night, big person. And the point that I was making and Rex was making was he was making a lot of jokes about what was happening in society. And I said, if you have such a big platform, and I'm not sitting here trying to tone police you, but sure. If you have the ability to push the right narrative and that you can actually influence people in the right decision, why not take that conscious effort?
I think the thing for me is that you say it's a joke. I engage in dark humor. I don't want to joke police or anything, but nobody's laughing. No, the people that are dead aren't laughing. Like when you say you want to destroy a country and you don't say that's a joke and you're going to make that position, you're going to make that claim. People around the world are crying right now. This is a very serious time to be alive. It's a very serious time to push the country forward. We also heard that when you get older, you'll understand the presidents are just all bad. No. Absolutely not.
But
30, 40, 50, 60-year-olds just say this stuff all day. Like we're demanding a higher standard.
But they call you know how outrageous this is. They call you deranged sometimes and they're like, Rex, how can you
You're
be
getting
anti
angry.
They're like, how could you be anti-war? And it's like, come on. How could he not? I mean, we've seen this play out for decades now to where we're in the same merry-go-round and we just want to get off the ride.
We do. Just
let me off the ride. I've been on this for ever since I was born. I'm 27 years old. The United States has been in some new conflict.
Sure.
We haven't gotten off this hamster wheel since I've been alive. And I'm sure a lot of you guys at home, people who are even twice my age have also been on this merry-go-round for 50 plus years.
Well, and that's the thing. When does this stop? When does it stop? It stops when we get off that hamster wheel that Tim is talking about. And that's a very simple calculation. It takes three moves. You stop moving. You look down at your feet. You take one step off. Then you take the other step off. Then you're off the hamster wheel. All we're asking the government to do, we're not even asking them to like build a moon base or do anything crazy. All we want them to do is stop funding death.
But the thing is I'm feeling like America's just afraid to let go of the wheel. Because they think China and Russia are gonna step in.
They think
and
they're gonna treat us like we've treated them.
That's the secret sauce there.
Sure.
Because we know we've treated people badly, and if we allow China to get any edge over us, they could give us the same treatment.
And that's very profound because that's what America has done. America's violated the golden rule. And this is why we're in the quagmires and problems that we're in today is because we haven't treated other nations how we want to be treated.
Well, and I'll add this, right? A lot of these conflicts are actually conflicts between all the people in positions of power. They all have beef with each other. The people, the average person does not have beef.
Collateral damage.
So like the only solution I see here is all the people who have been involved in these conflicts, and I'm talking about China, Russia, the Middle East. Like those people need to be like switched out with new fresh meat that actually, you know, is just an average person that understands. And I'm saying like also being qualified. I'm not sitting to take somebody random and just put them in that position.
Sure.
But again, it's just like we need a refresh of the mind to where we have a clean slate. Everybody can be like, all right, guys, we know we've all screwed each other over here. I think it's time to stop this and let's cooperate here. America, we come into the table. We're like, hey, we'll stop bombing you. We'll stop threatening you. We'll stop destabilizing your country. Just promise not to retaliate. And that promise that they're afraid of the other country not giving back, I think that's why we're continuing to go in the circle.
Sure. And it's like the harder you try, it's like a Chinese finger trap. The harder you pull, the harder it is to get out. The real secret to get out of the Chinese finger trap is to relax and actually push it in more, and then it releases on its own.
But the solution isn't what Biden did, right? Where Biden had no backbone and he was just taking it, right? Like that's not the solution either, because when Biden came in and they had no real plan and they thought they were doing something with the whole Ukraine, and then
Operation My Butt's Been Wiped by Joe Biden. Yes, exactly.
It didn't work out, because there also has to be a level of respect there too.
Sure.
People, in order to listen to you, do need to respect you, but you don't have to get that respect through pure force alone.
And we're given these extremes. We're given Biden, and then we're given Trump. And Biden does one war, Trump does another war. We're asking for in the middle. We're asking for Goldilocks. We don't want the porridge that's too cold or too hot. We're asking for the thing that's just right. And I feel like we all know what that is, because he ran on it, and that's what we voted for, man. Yeah. You know, and that's what's so heartbreaking.
It is. It is heartbreaking. We got anything else here? Because
you know, if you want to go ahead and throw up that Chinese nuclear weapon article, so that ties into what we're talking about.
It does tie into what we're talking about. And you just see, again, these situations are playing out now, and it's just we're turning up the oven. And so now we're seeing China is expanding their nuclear arsenal. Rex, I think we're in another Cold War here.
We were in a Cold War for a long time, and it's getting hotter as things progress. I mean, the number one thing that America's done geopolitically that's been damaging just for the state of the world and the survival of the world, really, is the removal of the New START Treaty. The Russians desperately tried to get us to agree to a year-long extension to it. We said no. Now there is no limit on our nuclear weapons program, and that's going to be the same for the other countries as well. That's called proliferation. It's evil. Nuclear weapons are real and they are evil. We need to get rid of them. Arms control.
Yes. Let's go ahead and read this article. I'll give it to you here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Satellite images reveal major expansion of Chinese nuclear facilities in Sichuan. China has been secretly expanding its nuclear weapons infrastructure in Sichuan province in recent years, according to a CNN investigation based on satellite imagery and government documents, as global arms control agreements weaken, and that means the U.S. leaving them, and geopolitical tensions rise. The development center around sites in and around Zetong County, which satellite images show extensive construction, including the demolition of villages, that's big construction, and the building of new facilities linked to nuclear weapons production. In one case, residents in Sichuan were evicted from their homes in 2022, with authorities citing it as a state secret. So now it's just out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. More than 3 years later, satellite imagery shows the village flattened and replaced with structures supporting nuclear-related activities. One of the most significant additions is a dome-shaped structure that's around 36,000 square feet. The reinforced facility is surrounded by concrete and steel, equipped with radiation monitors, blast doors, and ventilation systems designed to contain radioactive materials such as uranium and plutonium.
Okay. So I've just, again, because we're the new guys on the block, we haven't lived through the Cold War era.
Sure.
I just don't see the point of what, I mean, nuclear weapons are a deterrent. But how many do you need in order to actually deter someone from actually attacking you? Sure. You know, the 1,000 plus. I mean, how many nukes does it take, guys? Can you look this up? How many nukes would it take to actually eradicate the entire
life
Earth?
On Earth? Yeah.
I'm just very curious. I know we're coming up on a break here, but it's just I can't see it. Like, you wouldn't even be able to launch 1,000.
Well, a weapons increase is the next best thing, because they say in the case of MAD doctrine, mutually assured destruction doctrine, if we're not going to have non-proliferation, if we're not going to have no nuclear weapons, we got to have more of them than you, because we got to win the nuclear exchange. And you see that sickness of the mind. And if you've been propagandized, you're like, we can win this. No, we can't.
Okay, so it would take as few as 100 nuclear weapons, less than 1% of global arsenal.
Could trigger a nuclear autumn winter, causing massive worldwide famine.
Okay, so 100 nukes. I'm pretty sure China already has that as is. We've got like 2,000 to 3,000. Russia's got like 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000.
Russia's got a little more. China's got a little over 1,000 as well.
Right. So again, I don't understand why are we building these, Rex.
I want to be sitting here. I want to talk about a second golden age. I want to talk about amazing things Trump is doing. I want to talk about victories and successes for MAGA. But we live in reality. And the reality we're talking about now is nuclear weapons. So if you're like us and you voted for Trump and you were looking for good things, we got to talk about the bad now. We got to keep it real because we got to demand better in future administrations, don't we, Tim?
Yes, we do. And we're coming up on the deep dive here in the second hour. You guys aren't going to go anywhere. We're going to be talking about Ukraine, Russia, everything that is about that conflict and
we
what
love
you
it.
Need to know there. We will be back after the break. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product. And it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it, how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.